Encouraging Parents with Wayward Children on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. Today on the podcast, I welcome back Dr. Stuart Scott. He's ACBC's Director of Member Care and Professor of Biblical Counseling at Bob Jones University and Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also the Executive Director of 180 Counseling and Education in Louisville, Kentucky. He teaches in the area of biblical counseling as an adjunct instructor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. He serves currently as a fellow with ACBC, and Dr. Scott is the author of The Exemplary Husband, Communication and Conflict Resolution, The Faithful Parent, Killing Sinful Habits, and most recently, which we're going to talk about today, Wayward Children, Finding Peace and Keeping Hope. Brother, I'm so grateful that you're willing to write things like this and visit us today on the podcast to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Dale. It's a blessing and an honor to come alongside of the listeners and try to encourage them on this topic.
Yeah, and as always, I mean, Stuart, not just this topic, but so many others, where you're such an encouragement to me. You're a wonderful sounding board as I think through issues here at ACBC and how we can approach those and diligently work through those. And just appreciate your measured voice always, and looking forward to our topic today and you providing much the same. Now, it's always curious, you know, to hear the background of a book and where the idea come from and how you approach these things. Just give a little bit of idea on what led to you writing on this particular topic.
A couple of things in my own life. I mean, growing up in a home with real godly parents, my mom and dad, really examples of the Christian life, Christian walk, and yet four boys, and there wasn't conversion in our lives until we were outside the home. So you have, and my oldest brother at age 40, God graces them with saving faith. My other brother at age 27, I was 18 out of the home in a boarding school. That was my choice. I was rebelling and wanted to get away. So I went into a Christian boarding school where I heard the Bible even more, you know, and God, God graced me. It always perplexed me. I thought, what did my parents do wrong that we didn't come to faith earlier? And then we had children of our own. And of course, they make early professions of faith, which most kids do in the homes with Christian parents, make early professions of faith. And so I did, and my kids did, but I was not truly converted till I was 18. But I watched our children, and finally our daughter, you know, says, I'm not a Christian at age 15. So teen years are really tough years. You kind of find out where they're really at in their walk, their relationship with the Lord. So just on our own parenting, growing up with my parents, and then counseling and ministry in the church, I'm looking at faithful, godly people. I mean, no one's perfect, but I'm watching one or more children want nothing to do with Christ in their homes and trying to encourage them. So all of that together, I thought, man, they need encouragement, but oftentimes it's you're weighed down with shame, thinking that you caused their lack of faith, something you could have done differently, they would be saved and walking with the Lord, and way too much attention and credit to a parent when only God can change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh.
Yeah, that's right. And I think some of those expectations, as you mentioned, really heap on that guilt, that shame. And you know, one of the, and this is very basic, but one of the assumptions is godly parenting is sort of like a vending machine. Well, we don't really articulate it that way, but we sort of have that feeling that, well, if I just do these things, you know, particularly at these particular ages, and if we do these things well, then, you know, we can press our little button and out will come this exactly what I've chosen or what I've selected. And, you know, well, that sounds really wonderful, but that's not exactly how God presents himself in the scripture, nor is it, you know, a picture of parenting that he describes either. So talk a little bit about what some of those assumptions are. What I just described was certainly one of those false assumptions, but some of the false assumptions that Christian parents make that I think add to the guilt and the shame. Now, we certainly do things wrong. No question we have to deal with those, but We add to that a lot of times by false assumptions. So just speak about what some of those are, Stuart.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it on this paint by numbers approach, you know, product oriented parenting. You know, I do all these things. I homeschool, I catechize, we have family devotions every night. They're at every activity at church. Surely this will produce a solid Christian youth, and we'll try to do with what we can do as parents. And it's not that those things are bad in and of themselves. They are very wise to do as parents, but thinking I can do more than plant and water, that will get us in trouble. And I can plant with the gospel, the seeds of the gospel. I can water those seeds. So every Christian parent is an evangelist for sure, but God has to give the increase if he so chooses, right? He has mercy on whom he has mercy and compassion on whom he has compassion. His timing may not be our timing, and we may or may not be a discipler of our children. It all depends on if they're converted, but we can teach them. We can instruct their heart. We can have discipline training. And so one of the things that gets us in trouble is when we have a goal of trying to save our children rather than just trying to be a faithful parent.
Now, I want to dive in on that goal because I think that's helful for us. We have certain sights that we want to see, certain things we want to, you know, accomplish as parents. Help give us some insight on what is the parent's goal for their children? How should we think about those goals that we set as parents for our children?
Goals, by definition, can be achievable. And that's what gets us into trouble is desires. We give those to the Lord, the greatest desire a Christian parent has. I mean, by far, the greatest desire you have for your children is they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Greatest desire can't be your goal. Recently, a few years ago, I heard a lady giving a testimony. She just come to faith in Christ later in life. And she said, you know, I always thought my goal in parenting was to get my children into Harvard. And after what we just have been hearing about Harvard, we probably wouldn't want to keep a distance from Harvard. But anyway, it was like, get my kids into Harvard. And she says, now that I have faith in Christ, my goal is to get my children saved. And I remember sitting there and I looked over at my wife and I said, it's easier to get them into Harvard. You know, it's impossible to save them. So goals are achievable. And that is what we have to really be careful of. We can, by God's grace, be faithful by his Spirit, by instructing, not provoking, right? Ephesians 6, not provoking our children as a habit, trying to instruct them in the ways of the Lord and in the ways of living, wise living, and disciplined training. Try to just be faithful. It's like the same goal in every other area of the Christian's life, to be faithful in every area of your life. That's what the Lord's looking for. But we can't, if I could produce salvation in my children, guess what I could probably do in a local church? You can't do that. You know, you can plant and water. And that's probably one of the biggest assumptions is if I can just do everything right or correct everything wrong my parents did, right? Somehow they messed up. And that's why we didn't come to faith while we were in the home. So I'm gonna do everything I can that I know in scripture, and I'm going to correct everything that I thought was a problem with my parents' parenting. And that for sure will produce salvation. It just gets us into trouble. And a lot of the parenting material that I've seen, curriculums, are fear-based. It's parents afraid of what's going to happen with their children at different stages rather than encouraging them to trust God with their children. He gave them to the parents. He will help them. I would be careful of assuming something bad's always going to be happening to your children, just a fear-based rather than trusting God-based.
Now, one of the things, Stuart, that comes up with parenting and trying to live as godly parents is when our child does make an early profession of faith, and there are thousands of opinions on how do we handle this. You even mentioned, you know, we see this maybe often where a child will make some profession of faith and was it genuine? Maybe we see later that the child becomes wayward to some degree. How do we process these early professions of faith with our children? And then, you know, all kinds of questions that arise with this, but we want to foster those things faithfully. So how do we process that with our children?
Yeah. And it's every concern, you know, it is a concern of every parent. Are they truly a believer? Not every profession equals conversion. I mean, in Titus 1, there are false teachers making professions, and they deny their profession by their disobedient deeds in Titus 1:16. So not every profession equals conversion, but you don't want to discourage your children. You want to have them tell you what they believe the gospel is and what they're responding to. It's sort of adult-like content that solicits a childlike response. So they can understand the gospel. God does save. I think most of when we hear professions of faith and conversions, it tends to be in the teen years or early 20s. It seems to be that way. But in those early years, we made the mistake, I think at first, of checking off the box of evangelism. And now we're just going to go to discipling. When I think wisdom would say, no, keep evangelism 101 and bring in discipleship 101 and keep them both on the front burners. You're constantly, as you're helping them with the basics of growing as a Christian, you're still rehearsing the truths of faith in Christ. And we know even we have to keep rehearsing those even in adult life in our sanctification. But parents who check it off, like they are now saved, can get themselves into trouble. And I think just keep evangelism, just say, I don't know for sure. When they reach the teen years, their habitual walk in the teen years will be very telling of, do they have any love for Jesus? Do they want to know him and love him and follow him? Or is it all about themselves and they're living really habitually for themselves, which is an unbeliever?
That's really helpful in keeping an eye toward that. And paying attention to fruit that is produced in a child's life, I think, is something helpful. You know, Stuart, one time, this is when I was much younger, I was learning so much about parenting and godly ways of thinking that was challenging my own heart. My wife and I were trying to put into practice so many different things, even some of the things that you mentioned, family worship and catechizing and those types of things. And I remember teaching through a series at church, and it's very helpful, very well received, I think, by so many of the young people who were at the same stage of life as I was. But an unforeseeable outcome was in the direction of those whose children were out of the home. And I did not intend this, nor did I foresee this happening. But I think it heaped guilt on their shoulders if their children were wayward. And that was never my intention at all. In fact, I would say I probably wasn't wise enough to even think about that at that point. I was just trying to encourage young parents who are at the same stage of life as I was. We can find ourselves sometimes, you know, and I don't think we should shy back from speaking the truth, right? But there are times where we do have to pay attention to people are at different stages of life. And, you know, are they feeling more guilt and more shame because maybe they didn't do those things or they did those things and it didn't work out, as you mentioned, the way that they thought it should. So how are we to encourage parents in the church who have wayward children?
Yeah, and I've been in the same kind of scenarios, whether I'm teaching or I'm on the receiving end. You know, people will say, boy, you don't do this, you do this instead. Well, we didn't do that. You know, we blew it there. And Zahner and I have both, on multiple occasions, when things come up that we have remembered or we've talked about, or our children have brought up, you know, adult children will bring up things too. Boy, that you all just did this or you didn't do this. And wherever we have sinned, or it was just very unwise, it was foolish what we did, we just humble yourselves and ask for forgiveness. We do it vertically with God, and we do it with our kids. We blew it. Now, they may not be forgiving. That's if they're not saved, they may not be forgiving and may keep bringing it up. But, you know, as much as possible, we try to live at peace with all men. And rather than argue, that's what they remember. And so just ask for forgiveness for it. And that's the most and what God requires of us to do. And that may be something that God will use in their life where they see parents that will admit their imperfect parenting. And often what happens is those wayward children start having children of their own. And they go, oh, wow, this is not so easy. This is, and they may turn and be a little bit more appreciative of things rather than their selective memory of your faults. But I would just say that's one of the biggest things and most important things before God, to clear our conscience before God and them, is to confess sin and ask for forgiveness.
Well, I think even some of the things you mentioned earlier is that reorientation to what can we accomplish as parents. Our goal is to be faithful, but we can't turn a switch and our children come to faith. We have to trust the Lord with the results of what's happening. Now, this is a hard subject I want to bring up, but this is one that I've heard often as a huge wrestling match. We don't want to enable our kids. Let's say they're getting to the later part of their teenage years. We don't want to enable their rebellion consistently. The question then remains, well, do I just put them out on the street? What do I do with them? Do I allow them to live in my own house when they're acting these ways? And it may not be upper teens or, young adults. What do parents do in situations like this where, they're allowing the child to live in their house? Do they help them find another place? Or do they habitually allow them to disobey? Like, how do we wrestle with those types of very tense situations? Because you love your child. You don't want to give up. This is the place you want to keep them close. But then you also wrestle with, am I contributing to this? So help us think through that, Stuart.
It's interesting, the analogy that the Spirit of God uses in 1 Timothy 3 about an elder and how he shepherds his home is how he's going to shepherd the flock. And in churches, we have the same thing. We love everyone in the church. And someone starts acting up. They don't listen to someone come and talk to them. You bring someone else with you. You tell the church. I mean, the whole church is trying to help them, to restore them, to keep them, to follow the Lord. And at times we have to say, well, we're putting them out. Actually, they're choosing not to be there. And I think that's more, we're not kicking anyone out. We want them. We love them. They're choosing to have to leave because they refuse to abide by some basic guideline structure in the home. And this, I'm thinking primarily, is usually for the older. I mean, you're usually in the teen years, upper teens, where they want their independence. And it's not a snapshot of their life. They are continuing to rebel against parental authority. And if you have siblings, if they have siblings, younger ones, they're watching. And you're saying, we can't allow this. And you just say, if you can't make the turn here, if you can't, and not 100 rules in the house, there's just like 3-4 major things, then you're choosing to have to leave. Now, we'll look for a place if they're underage. We'll find a place. We don't want to turn them over to the state, but there are places, there are ranches, there are other places where they can go, and it'll be tough, but I don't want to turn them over to the world necessarily. So in that stage, there are transition kind of places, ministry places, and they're around the country. And so I would say to parents, let's do everything we can. Let other people to try to talk to the rebellious or incorrigible child. Maybe they'll open up and be more free to open up to someone else. So let's do everything we can to help them to turn. But if they refuse and they're stuck, no way, then they are choosing to leave. And with a change of heart and life, they could come back, but that you can't keep them there. Just like in a church, you can't keep a constant sinning, unrepentant Christian in the church either. Does that kind of help?
Yeah, that's helpful for sure. I want to close out today because I'm thinking particularly about parents who find themselves in a situation that you're trying to describe with wayward children. They're discouraged. They don't see a way up. They see themselves maybe as just distinct failures in so many ways. I want you to describe maybe a passage or two that you found most helpful, when you've been discouraged personally, and that you found helpful to other parents who have been discouraged as well.
The Isaiah chapter 1 passage, and I address some of these in the book on the devotionals, because it says, the Lord says, many children have I reared, and they've rebelled against me. And I'm going, boy, that wasn't a parenting problem. it was perfect parenting. And we see it with Israel. We see it with his people. He came to his own. His own received him not. perfect parenting. And so he understands, you know, Christ is our sympathetic high priest. So that passage in Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 59, well, you could go Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. So there's a passage right there. As a parent, as the creator, he sees this turning away from his kindness and his goodness. But Isaiah 59:1, that his arm is not too short, it cannot save. His ear is not too heavy, it cannot hear. Is that God still saves. He loves to save. Nothing's too hard for him. And then 1 Corinthians 3, I brought that up earlier about we plant and we water. That's all the Lord has asked for of us, for our children, to love them. Plant, water, right? Try not to be provoking. Try to be instructing them in the right way, the wise way. You have discipline, training, and the results are up to the Lord. He is the one who can give the increase in his time and in his way. And I think those are some of the key passages, and obviously the sympathetic high priest that we can go to who does understand and care. Yeah.
Stuart, this is so helpful in many ways, the encouragement that you're giving from the scriptures, but also the honesty where, you know, we fail in so many ways, and how to be humble when we approach our wayward children, admitting areas where we've not done well. It is the Lord who saves despite us and even despite our good parenting at times. And so, man, praise be to the Lord for that. And just a reminder that his arm is not short, that there's still hope, and that we can pray in that direction. Stuart, first of all, thanks for being vulnerable in this, but thanks for being very balanced in your biblical approach to how we handle these things. And I appreciate your wisdom here. Listen, if you're hearing this and you've been encouraged, I want to remind you about Stuart's most recent book, a devotional, Wayward Children, Finding Peace, Keeping Hope. Brother, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Dale.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. I want to remind you about a resource that we've spent a great deal of time on, hoping it would be a blessing to so many of you out there in high school or those who do homeschool. And it's called our Foundations Curriculum, where we use our basic fundamentals training in biblical counseling. And we really focus that on high school-aged young adults and some of the major issues that they're dealing with. We use case studies to be very direct on some of the issues that they will face and how to think biblically on those particular issues. I want to remind you about the curriculum, but also let you know that we now have it as a digital option where you can purchase with books or without books that go along with the curriculum. And so this curriculum can be directly available for individuals in homeschooling, but it can also be available for those doing group studies. We have pricing arranged for that as well. And then also Christian schools, we have pricing arranged that can be helpful for you as well. So new digital option in this Foundations curriculum. If you're looking for high school curriculum, I would encourage you to check it out. I think you'll be blessed by it, or your child will benefit from the topics that are addressed and how to think biblically on some of these topics. You can find out more information about that and many of our other resources at biblicalcounseling.com.